From the Wings Archive 2016, a maternity hospital in Israel trying to be a bridge for peace. Today on Wings.
Demographic danger. They really use this term, demographic danger, meaning these women will give birth to many kids. These many kids are going to be, how surprising, Palestinian kids. They give birth to the next terrorist.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Hadassah is an international women's Zionist organization started in 1912. In 1913, it sent two maternity nurses to Palestine. Its founder, Henrietta Zold, advocated in the 1940s for Arab-Jewish reconciliation in the form of two states collaborating in an economic union. That failed, but Hadassah's first project grew into a range of medical facilities open to all. The pressures around that policy were investigated by Shana Sheely for this documentary. Originally aired in the series Making Contact, it is co-hosted by Monica Lopez.
It's amazing to see her in your arms after 9 months. I felt so happy, really.
Shema just gave birth to a girl. She went into labor hours after her brother was shot in both legs by Israeli forces.
It's my first baby. So I'm really interested to have a good treatment. I was afraid.
Afraid to go to an Israeli hospital. She delivered at a Palestinian one, even though she thinks Israeli hospitals have the highest standards of healthcare.
I'm afraid if I go there that they may do something for me or my daughter. And maybe not now I can see it, maybe more after 5, 6, 10 years. And I'm not ready for that.
In Shema's mind, the Israeli hospital would harm her daughter. That would never happen, says Drorit Hochner, head of OBGYN of an Israeli hospital less than 2 kilometers away from where Shema gave birth. It goes against all possible principles of care and this hospital's reputation as an island of healing. It's called Hadassah Hospital at Mount Scopus. The hospital was built in the 1930s on a hilltop in a mostly Arab area.
In 1939, the doors opened. Everybody came. The pioneer Jews from the kibbutzim, the religious Jews from the old city, Arabs, all were welcome. The hospital was meant to be an island of healing for Arab and Jew alike. And here in East Jerusalem, it would be available to all.
Just a few years ago, the hospital was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for exactly that.
Inside Hadassah University Mount Scopus Hospital, it's not unusual to see yarmulke-wearing Jews sitting or strolling alongside hijab-wearing Muslims.
There are a lot of stories about unity inside the hospital. The clip you're hearing is from Reuters, produced in November 2015.
And we truly believe that medicine is a bridge to peace.
And that bridge, she hopes, will one day extend beyond the hospital halls.
This is not exactly one of those stories, though. It takes place inside the hospital walls, in the 6th-floor maternity ward where rooms facing east look out over Jerusalem's iconic Golden Dome and Old Walled City. We'll hear from Israeli and Palestinian women who are avoiding the maternity ward because they don't feel safe being so close to women from the other side. We'll hear from nurse midwives at Mount Scopus about the moments when bringing new Israeli and Palestinian life into the world is complicated. And from a rabbi who was called to the hospital to mediate tension among maternity ward staff during a time when the sacred space of healing couldn't withstand divisiveness from the conflict outside. Because even here in the maternity ward, a place dedicated to unity, healing, and literally bringing new life into the world, maintaining that bridge to peace isn't always easy.
We are people. We hear the radio, we're influenced, and I think we come to work also with our personal package.
That's Dorit Hochner. She's the head of OBGYN for the hospital. She's an Israeli Jew. She calls herself a leftist.
You know, you can't just ignore everything that happens out of the hospital.
Especially now. From October 2015 to May 2016, Palestinians killed over 30 Israelis, and Israelis killed more than 200 Palestinians, many described by Israeli authorities as attackers. People are scared. So scared that pregnant women from both sides of the conflict are avoiding the maternity ward when the violence was at a peak.
I was scared, you know, there's Arabs there. Like whenever they decide, they just take out a knife or whatever they want.
Malki is an ultra-Orthodox Jew. She delivered her first two kids at Mount Scopus, but went to a hospital in Jewish West Jerusalem for her third, even though the Mount Scopus staff tried to make her comfortable.
So when they share a room, they don't put you together with an Arab. They try not to.
That separation isn't enough to make her feel safe.
In the hallway, and when you go to eat, they come a lot. It's scary. I'm scared to go there.
There's no safety. There's no trust also.
Hadil is scared too. She's a Palestinian from East Jerusalem, and she also delivered her first two kids at Mount Scopus. This time, Hadil felt she had to choose between the best healthcare at an Israeli hospital and personal safety at a Palestinian one.
It was really, really hard decision. Really.
She chose Palestinian.
Now it's very a special time that it all rooms is full, because in the last time, because of this security conditions, people don't want to come to this hospital because the Jewish afraid from Arabic people and Arabic people afraid from Jewish people.
Rivka is a nurse midwife at Mount Scopus. Her name has been changed to protect her identity. She's Jewish. All the nurse midwives here are.
And I'm afraid also I'm going only by my car, not in the buses. I'm afraid of my kids go along outside. I want them to stay home all the time.
Home is in a West Bank settlement, about a 40-minute drive away. Violence there has been severe. A lot of the nurse midwives here are religious West Bank settlers. We are with Rivka now, on the night shift.
I want to come to drink coffee.
It's past midnight, and she's sipping a hot drink from a paper cup. Her lips are pink and glossy.
I feel celeb now.
She's wearing turquoise eyeshadow to match her green scrubs. There are about five other midwives around tonight. They'll all be getting new uniforms soon. Purple. Rivka was the leader behind this cause. You know those people whose work makes them happier than anything? Rivka's one of those.
It looks like a miracle. It's a baby come out. You just see the head between the legs of the lady. It's very special thing to see a lady before and after.
Some of Rivka's co-workers say she's one of the best midwives at Mount Scopus. Tonight, from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., Rivka's on duty in the admission room, but helps out a co-worker with three patients. One Israeli, two Palestinian. Being there to support all of them is really important to Rivka. So important that she signed up for Arabic lessons with a tutor in her settlement. She knows some words in Arabic related to her work, words like push, but not enough words to really talk. The Israeli Ministry of Health provides a 30-minute translation service over the phone that can be accessed by a toll-free number. Tonight, one of the Palestinian patients has a Hebrew-speaking husband in the room. Rivka talks to him. The hospital says that in 95% of the cases, someone's around and available to help with translation. Rivka says a bunch of the doctors and some other midwives speak Arabic. She relies on them or patients' family members who speak Hebrew when her patients don't. The sixth-floor janitor, a Palestinian from nearby, helps out a lot with translation. Tonight, Rivka smiles big and approaches the Palestinian patients with affection.
All the time I hope it will be make the people closer. They will remember they were together and we helped them. But I must be nice with everybody because I'm nurse. But I don't know what these people will do outside. Maybe they will kill us. I don't know.
Another nurse midwife who also lives in a settlement said she's never afraid of her patients. When an Arab woman is lying naked on a hospital bed, she said, everyone can see that there's not a knife on her. Now, it's important to remember that a midwife's responsibilities are different from a doctor's. The International Confederation of Midwives says a midwife's job is not just to provide treatment. It's to provide care, comfort, encouragement, to nurture a woman through the most intimate moment of her life with loving support, which isn't always easy. While all of the nurse midwives I spoke with, including Rivka, say the conflict outside the hospital does not get in the way of their professional responsibilities to laboring Palestinian women, many say it can make the job more difficult, especially in times of conflict when the us versus them thing is even more distinct. Like during the summer of 2014, when Israel was at war with Gaza.
The time of the war and this conflict in Gaza, it was more difficult for me to take care about Arab people. A lot of midwives have sons there, so they should come here and take care of the people who calls their babies jihad and pray that their sons will be okay and will be safe. It's very difficult. Because this name said, we hate you, it's our country.
Another nurse midwife told me she worked a shift the day three dead Israeli boys were found after an alleged kidnapping by Palestinians. Her name is Avia. She delivered two Palestinians that day.
They were nice. It wasn't something with them. It was hard, like with this horrible thing that happened. You want something like, oh, I brought a Jewish baby to the world.
You need something to calm yourself, she says. Something like bringing a Jewish baby into the world.
You go to the little boxes in your head, which aren't particularly true. It's like your safe place.
Avia recognizes how hard it can be to separate fear from logic. And Rivka struggles with that too.
You feel so strange. They attack us and I should stay with this woman.
Tonight, Rivka stays with them. She checks on her patients with a smile. She hugs them and coos at them. She takes a coffee break and then she goes back to check on them. They're not even her assigned patients. And then she thinks about it.
I think sometimes it's our hospital. It's our place. And I want to help them. I want to give the service. I want to be very humanic to them. But it's my hospital. So my people, it's first.
On Wings, you are listening to a documentary about maternity ward policies at Hadassah University Hospital in Israel. Originally aired in the series Making Contact, it is produced by Shana Sheely and co-hosted by Monica Lopez.
As far as Rivka is concerned, her people, Jewish people, come first in the maternity ward. The result of that is something she goes back and forth on.
I think it's the same treatment for everybody. It's no different.
Rivka insists she treats Palestinian women fairly, except for one thing.
Sometimes I told you about the rooms, only this maybe, but the treatment, the level of treatment is the same.
The rooms are something I heard about a lot at Mount Scopus.
So we have beautiful rooms, big beautiful rooms, and smaller rooms. When Jewish people come, we prefer to give the beautiful rooms for Jewish people, and some midwives hate it, and I don't know what to do.
To be sure, there are a lot of midwives who appear to work totally professionally, who advocate for equitable care and the same rooms for Israeli and Palestinian patients. But most of the eight women I spoke with who had been nurse midwives in the hospital said that Israeli women sometimes get preferential treatment, including the better rooms with the better views.
A few months after I recorded the interviews you're hearing,
Israeli journalist Dikla Aharon released a report saying Arab and Jewish women are routinely segregated in maternity wards across Israel. Aharon called 7 hospitals, including Mount Scopus, and asked about separation between Jews and non-Jews in maternity wards.
Shalom.
Only 2 refused to segregate patients. Here she is, calling Mount Scopus. A nurse answers. She says something along the lines of course we separate Jews from non-Jews. We do it without requests from the patients. We're even strict about it. Segregation in maternity wards is not a new story in Israeli media. Reports about maternity ward segregation have been published in reputable papers like Haaretz since 2006. But this time, after a member of Israel's parliament spoke up in favor of maternity ward segregation, Aharon's report became a topic of national conversation. Israeli online developer Dori Adar created a satirical web game called Categorize the Maternity Ward. It's a wordplay on the Hebrew term for maternity triage. To win the game, players swipe Arab women's ID cards left into a dark, grungy hospital room on the screen. They swipe Jewish women's ID cards right into a bright, spacious hospital room. And Yonatan Blumenfield wrote and performed a parody song online based on responses from hospital spokespeople and far-right government officials. The chorus of the song roughly translates into, "Just not an Ethiopian midwife, that's gross. Just not an Arab midwife, and, if possible, just to make sure that in the bed next door, an Arab is not being born. Because a good Arab is an Arab not born." Segregation in maternity wards is forbidden by Israel's Ministry of Health. It is against the official policy of all hospitals. A spokesperson for the Israeli Ministry of Health told reporters that the National Health Insurance Law ensures equal treatment for all patients. Dorit Hochner, the head of OBGYN at Mount Scopus, told reporters that Arab and Jewish patients get the same medical treatment. The reason the hospital separates some patients, she said, is because they request separation. She says the hospital tries to be considerate of everyone's requests. Still, some nurse midwives say a patient's request is not a reason to separate Jewish from non-Jewish patients. One of those midwives is Tammy Daron. Tammy told me a story that unfolded in the Mount Scopus maternity ward several years ago. She was taking her Palestinian patient into a delivery room when a religious nurse midwife blocked the door, refusing entry. It was this midwife's first day back to work after being with her son in the hospital, a soldier, badly wounded during an operation in Gaza.
"This room is only for Jewish women."
That's what the midwife said when Tammy tried to enter the room with her laboring patient.
"I told her, look, there's no connection between this woman who came to give birth and what happened to your son."
Too many midwives at Mount Scopus, Tammy says, connect violence against Jews to all Palestinians. She eventually left the hospital because of that racism.
"Demographic danger. They really use this term, demographic danger. Meaning, these women will give birth to many kids. These many kids are going to be, how surprising, Palestinian kids, not with us. They give birth to the next terrorist." And you can hear the nurses that take care of the babies, they also say, "Here's another terrorist born."
It's this dehumanization, she says, that allows unequal treatment, like the separate rooms.
"I don't think that she says, now I will revenge. It's not that simple. She doesn't see this woman as a human being. She sees her some idea of enemy. You know, when a woman comes to you, she gets undressed, you see her naked. She's spread, actually, on the bed in front of you. She opens her legs and it's the most fragile position that can be. She gives you so much trust and take advantage of this. Confidence is the ugliest thing you can do, I think."
Again, a lot of midwives at Mount Scopus advocate for equitable care for Palestinian and Israeli women. And the hospital denies any difference in the treatment of Palestinian and Israeli patients. But the issue of blocking Palestinians from the bigger rooms caused so much tension among the midwives that the Hospital Ethics Committee called in Rabbi Benny Lau to talk about equal treatment.
I just read the first chapter of the second book in the Bible, Exodus, about the midwives in Egypt.
Those Egyptian midwives were commanded by Pharaoh to kill all the Jewish baby boys.
And then I played with that. You know, I tried to say what kind of hospital they have in the river of the Nile.
He said that the Egyptian will get the most beautiful, spacious rooms with a view to the Nile. And the Hebrew women will get the tiny rooms with no windows.
Rabbi Lau's talk took place in a normal staff room. But Tammy remembers the meeting was not normal at all. The room was packed with what seemed to be over 30 people. Midwives, doctors, senior staff. It was tense. The midwives sat in two groups on opposite sides of the room, for and against. For giving Palestinian women the good rooms and against it.
It was very emotional and very tense. And I think the people who were not from our staff were shocked by the level of emotions. I don't think that in any other section in the hospital there are such levels of emotions towards this issue of, you know, demographic danger.
The meeting ended in people shouting at each other about what the Bible says. Rabbi Benny Lau said the Bible commands Jews to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt, so now they should treat the minorities of their land with kindness. In response, the midwives against giving Palestinian women the bigger rooms cited the commandment that says Jews should take care of the people of their own city before taking care of others. One of the midwives who said that to the rabbi, Tammy says, is now the head midwife. While Rabbi Benny Lau was called in to talk about equal treatment, even he gets why that's hard.
Try to think about yourself. Living in a situation that everyone, your neighborhood, that is from the minorities, are suspecting that maybe he is against you. Think about more than that. Maybe one of your family, you know, was in a situation of terror act. And then try to think about this midwife who come to her work, to hospital, day after sitting Shiva to her husband who killed in the terror act. And then she see the whole family, the Palestinian family, come to have birth. What her feeling is?
Maybe they don't smile, but they do the same job. Thanks God, it's nobody was killed in my family. And a lot of the people in Israel, they have some of the family who was killed.
We're back with Rivka in the maternity ward.
You try to help women to give birth and you get this so sweet baby, so nice baby, and you don't know what this baby will be. Maybe a terrorist, maybe this baby will kill our kids.
I don't understand that everybody in this world is equal, and in Arabic people and Hebrew people and Jewish people the same.
You don't understand that.
No.
But what do you mean?
I think it's our country and Arabic people is a guest here.
To try to get where Rivka's coming from, you have to realize that she grew up in Russia. She wasn't a religious Jew back then, but she was still a Jew.
In Russia, I was a guest.
In 1941, Rivka's family fled from the Nazis. They rebuilt their lives in Russia after the war, but Rivka didn't feel like she belonged there. When she moved to Israel, she finally felt at home. She started covering her hair and praying regularly. She moved to a West Bank settlement. A few years ago, after she took a trip to Poland and saw concentration camps, her attachment to Israel became even stronger.
So I don't understand people that they don't understand that it can happen again.
Rivka compares her family's tragedy to what's happening to Palestinians today.
It's the same for me. I was a country, but somebody take it when the time we wasn't here. So it's the same.
Do you think it's like fair or okay?
this is what we have. These people was born here, understand it's difficult. They can't go away. But everybody should know this is our country. Jewish people country. Jewish people, and we don't have another place in all world. After what happened to Jewish people, we should to be together and keep each other and take care of each other more than other people outside.
But like, your job is to bring more Palestinian life into Israel.
That's what we have, and I have no choice. What can we do? What can we do?
As a nurse, like, what is your responsibility to this issue?
Just stay human being. Maybe people see us and try to be like us, and then the world will be better.
As the night shift wraps up, Rivka checks in on a Palestinian patient. She seems worried, and Rivka smiles at her. Earlier, I asked how she could be so nice to everyone.
I don't know, really. Maybe because it's nothing happened to me. I hope that the world will be better. And I believe Jewish people must do the best in this world. Maybe we'll change.
3 weeks later, her friend, Daphna Meir, was stabbed to death inside of her home in a West Bank settlement. She was around Rivka's age and a mother to six. Rivka sent me a few pictures of Daphna. She was a nurse, Rivka said. Took care of many Arabs.
When baby born, I say, I hope God bless you and you'll be nice to Jewish. Remember who helped your mother to give birth.
Several months after the story was produced, Mount Scopus midwives told reporter Shana Sheely that segregation is no longer taking place in the maternity ward. This edition of Making Contact was produced by Shana Sheely, with additional audio mixing by Monica Lopez. Advisors were David Cohn, Richard Cosi Hernandez, Dolly Lee, and Cynthia Gorney. Special thanks to Rivka, Tammy, and each woman who shared her story. Tan Feldman, Nahum Begleiter, and the Shani family, Anna Sussman, Danny Zwerdling, Joan Beter, Tim McGurk, the Berkeley Institute for Jewish Law and Israel Studies. Music by Beware of Safety, A New Dawn, Adriana Crickle, Cuddle Formation, Ergo Fizmiz, Mon Plaisir, Kirill Shirikov, Lee Rosevier, and Quiet Music for Tiny Robots. Additional footage and sound by the Spielberg Jewish Film Archive at Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Dan Williams, Jeffrey Heller, and Ori Lewis for Reuters. Lisa Rudman is our executive director. RJ Lozada, Marie Che, and Anita Johnson are producers. Quan Booth is our digital content and community engagement manager. I'm Monica Lopez.
Wings thanks Making Contact for sharing this documentary. You can find their program archives at radioproject.org. To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. Thanks to our Wings supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Lee Bana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.